following message was recorded live from Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in Central Alberta, Canada.
Good morning, everyone. This is a great day at Crossroads Church because we are shortly going to witness people being baptized who are saying just what we've been singing. I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. And before you witness the baptisms, I thought it might be appropriate to take a bit of time and just talk to you about the significance of baptism, because we probably all come from different places here, and I want you to understand what's actually happening here today, so that when you watch people being baptized, going down in the water and coming up, we can celebrate with all of our heart and with understanding. Does that make sense? So let me just talk to you a little bit about this, and I just want to just put out on the floor, as it were, just a few questions around baptism and try and help you understand them. I guess the first question that I was thinking about this morning was, where do we get this idea from anyway? You're going to see people come out to my right. There's a tank here, and they're going to go down into water, and they're going to be baptized. They're going to come back up, and we're all going to celebrate with all of our hearts. Where on earth did we ever come up with this? Well, the answer is, we didn't come up with it. It actually started with Jesus. That seems to be the answer to a lot of things in the Christian life, isn't it? But it's really true. This started with Jesus. What you're going to witness today is a very long history. It goes all the way back to Jesus. He died, he was buried, and he was raised from the dead. And then just before he went back to heaven, he got together with his followers, and he said these words to them. I want to read them to you in Matthew 28. You'll probably see them on the screen. It says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So it was Jesus' idea. He said to his followers, just before he went back to heaven, as you go, that's what it means, as you go into all the world, make disciples and teach them so that they can obey everything that I've taught you. And first thing I want you to teach them to do after they become my disciple is I want you to baptize them. Now, his followers picked that up. It's very clear because in Acts chapter 2, Jesus has now gone back to heaven, but his followers are going everywhere talking about Jesus, talking about the fact that he wasn't just an ordinary man or a good teacher, but this Jesus was literally God in the flesh. And when he died, he actually died for the sins of the whole world. That means my sins, your sins, everybody's sins. And he was buried, but God raised him from the dead 3 days later to give proof that God accepted the sacrifice of Jesus for sin. So they go out, the followers of Jesus, and they just talk about Jesus everywhere they go. Peter, on one occasion, was addressing a large crowd. And as he was telling them about Jesus, who he was, what he did, the Bible says these people were cut to the heart. That means they had a sense that this is absolutely right, which means we are absolutely in the wrong, which means we absolutely need to ask him for forgiveness. And they said to Peter, when they heard this, what should we do? And in Acts 2, verse 38, Peter replies, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, the promises for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So Peter goes out, remembering what Jesus said, and he says, in response to their question, what shall we do? Repent. Just turn right around. Just stop going this direction and start following Jesus and give evidence of that by being baptized. And they were baptized. So I guess that's where we get this idea from. We get it goes all the way back to Jesus. And his first followers did that. And all Christians down through the years, in one way or another, have given the good news about Jesus and invited people to trust Christ and be baptized, as it says in Acts, for the forgiveness of their sins. So, second question. That's where we get it from. But the second question, what's the significance of it? Why? Why did Jesus say that, do that? Well, I've wrestled with that a little bit. In Matthew 28, he says, make disciples. And it seems to me that what he's saying is, don't just ask people to pray a little prayer. Don't just ask people to sign on a little card somewhere and then go and live life the way they've always lived it before. He said, no, go and make disciples. Disciples are different than somebody that just prays a little prayer and doesn't change. A disciple is someone who shapes their whole life and thinking around Jesus. When they hear what Jesus teaches, they put it into practice in their life. That's a disciple. And they do that for the rest of their life. It's the first step, baptism is, in discipleship. When Jesus said, go and make disciples, and Peter stood up and said, if you want in on this, if you want forgiveness of sins, repent and believe, the very first step was baptism. So the first step on this path of discipleship following Jesus is baptism. You can't leapfrog over it. You can't go to the second step, start there, or the third step. You start at the first step with baptism, and you build on that. It happens when somebody commits their life to Jesus Christ and confesses with their lips, Jesus is my Lord, and they believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead. Then they're baptized, the very first step. Now, Jesus said, when you baptize people, and you'll hear this today, you'll hear the people who are doing the baptizing, they'll say this. They'll say, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why? Well, for this reason. God the Father calls us into relationship with Jesus. He calls us personally and by name. He says, Dan, follow Jesus. He says, Dan, Jesus died for your sins. He says, Dan, I want you in my family. And I respond personally to that call. That comes in different ways. Sometimes you hear the good news about Jesus and something in your heart longs for that. That's the Father calling. Sometimes you feel deeply convicted that you're just not living right and your life is full of sin and you need to do something about it. And you suddenly recognize that Jesus died for your sin and you long for that. That's the Father drawing you, calling you by name. The Father calls you to follow Jesus in the name of the Father and the Son. The Father calls you personally to follow Jesus, but how do I do that? This is a whole new way of living. I do it with the power that the Holy Spirit gives me. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit means the Father has called you to follow Jesus and has given you his Spirit to empower you to live this new life and follow Christ. That's why we baptize them in the name of the Father, in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. Baptism, as I said, is the first step. First step in what? A long journey, or as I'm fond of saying, a long obedience in the same direction. A journey to where? A journey to become like Christ. A journey, that's called maturity in the Christian life. To look like, think like, act like Jesus. It's a long journey. It takes our whole life, but baptism is the first step. In other words, this. When people are baptized, their lives don't stay the same. It's not just something you check off and now I get on with my life. No, it's the first step of a long obedience in the same direction. And now the implications of the teaching of Jesus are worked out in their life for the rest of their life. And as they learn more about Christ, because they made the commitment that says Jesus is Lord, they will shape their lives around him. The three big areas that will be impacted right away are the three great gods, money, sex, and power. When you say Jesus is Lord, Your trust moves from money and material things to Jesus. You trust him. That's why Christians are able to open their hands and their wallets and give wholeheartedly, because their trust is no longer in money. This is one of the big things that happens when you say Jesus is Lord. Your trust shifts from money to God. And you begin to see the beauty of God's plan for marriage and sexuality. And you no longer keep sleeping around or living together before you're married or watching pornography or all, because you realize that Jesus is right. That sex is the most beautiful gift that he could have given us, but he gave it to two people in covenant marriage, and that's the way it's used best, where you don't wreck your life. And so he begins to shepherd us and draw us there. When someone's baptized and says, Jesus is Lord, you bet it'll impact your sexuality and your money and power. We used to live for ourselves. We used to live for our own stuff. Now we become, what? Servants. Isn't that crazy? We live to serve Jesus and other people. And somewhere we come in there, but we're way down the list, and it's different. I want to tell you something. When you begin this walk with Jesus, the first step being baptism, it'll change your whole life. It has implications for everything. That's what we're doing up here when we're baptizing these people in the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit. They are called by the Father to follow Jesus in every area of their life, and it's the Holy Spirit that will empower them to do it. Does that make any sense to anybody? So why? Why this way? Why do we do it this way? I mean, we put them down under the water, and they go right down under and come back up. Bigger the sinner, the deeper you go. Not really. that's not true. But why do we do it this way? Well, it's a picture. It symbolizes something, is the best way to put it. I'll read it to you in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Paul says, who wrote it, what shall we say then? And what he means is, after all that Jesus has done, died for our sins, and God raised him from the dead, what should we say in response to this? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? In other words, shall we go on living like we've always lived? Absolutely not, by no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Baptism pictures something. What? Well, it pictures what happened to Jesus. He died, he was buried, and he rose to new life. And baptism is saying, we identify now with this person called Jesus. Our identity is bound up in Jesus. I'm no longer Dan, senior pastor. I am Dan, child of Jesus Christ. You're no longer whoever you are. You are now child of the King. That's your identity. Baptism says your identity is not what it once was. Your identity is now bound up in this person called Jesus, who died for you, who was raised from the dead for you. Why? So that you can live a new life. Not so that your life can be the same as it always was, but so that you can live a brand new life. This is huge stuff that's happening today. Huge stuff. The people that are baptized, something huge has happened. They've crossed over from death to life. Their whole identity has changed. They look the same on the outside. They don't grow more hair or lose weight necessarily or look, you know, different. But what happens is, their whole soul, spirit, life is changed from the inside out. They are people now identified with Jesus Christ in personal relationship with him, who are actually living now as Jesus would live if he were walking around Red Deer in Central Alberta. So I want us today to celebrate with all of our hearts when we witness these people being baptized. Feel free to shout, sing, holler, say amen, do whatever you need to do. But, you know, there's a party going on in heaven. Did you know that? There's a huge celebration in heaven today. There should be here, too. So I want to just give you permission just to do that. We're going to celebrate. And I think The people that are being baptized are still here in the house. Is that right, Willem? Okay. I just have a word for you just before you exit, and that's this. I would really, really, really encourage you, if there's any way you can, to sign up for the Alpha course. Because Alpha is the foundation on which we build our whole Christian walk. So if you're new to the Christian faith, it would be really good to follow today up with Alpha. It's just a 10-week course we do every Tuesday night, and we start this Tuesday, the 15th, right here at Crossroads with what we call a come-and-see dinner at 6:30. And you can check it out. It's open to anybody. All of you are welcome to come. But this is just a good way to just put down our roots deep into Jesus and what we're doing here today. So I want to invite you to be a part of that. So let me pray for those people that are being baptized today. I'm going to pray that God, in a very powerful and real way, will come close to them by His Spirit and affirm in their own hearts that they are His children, that He will empower them to live this new life. And then I've got a couple announcements for you, and we'll receive the offering. Then we'll witness these people being baptized. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks to you today for this wonderful day that we can be here. Father, we reflect today on the fact that your word says that your love and your righteousness, it reaches to the heavens. Father, we couldn't exhaust it. And I thank you so much that today you've come to us in your Son Jesus. You've forgiven our sins as we've trusted him. You've given us a new life. Many of us already have been baptized and are walking on this road called discipleship. And we thank you, Father, that you give us day after day your personal presence to help us along the way. And we pray for these people being baptized today. Father, it's exciting. And I know that your heart is thrilled when people desire to please you and obey you and walk in your ways. We pray for them today, Father. We pray that they would experience in their own hearts that voice that says, I am well pleased with what you're doing today. You're my beloved child. I pray that your Spirit would fill them. I pray that you would keep the evil one from stealing away the good things that are sown into their hearts today. I pray that you would empower them to walk in newness of life. Father, we just thank you as their friends and family that we get to be here and witness this today. And we pray that your presence would be in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, just before we receive an offering and the people getting baptized come on out, a couple of just things that you need to be aware of. You're all aware that next Sunday is Easter Sunday. Three services as usual, 9, 11, and 6:30. There are invitations at the connecting points, at the information counter, kind of business card style or a little larger. If you'd like to take them and hand them out, feel free to do that. I think we ran out of them last week, but I think we have a whole bunch more printed today, so you can get as many as you want. Good Friday service is at 10 o'clock. One service, 10 o'clock right here. Now, normally it's full to the rafters, so if you come a bit early, that would be helpful. But it's going to be a great service. We're going to worship the Lord. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. We're just going to have a wonderful time together on Good Friday. So that's 10 o'clock this coming Friday. And then on May the 4th, which is just a couple of weeks down the road, we have a luncheon for anybody here that's new to Crossroads. If you call yourself new or you're just kind of checking the place out, we'd like to invite you for lunch on May the 4th. You can register online. If you could do that by May 2nd, that would help us with numbers. Just be an opportunity to hear a little bit about the church, ask questions that you might have, and it gives us an opportunity to meet you and help you get connected around this place. So that's on May the 4th. Then we have a team that we prayed for that went off to Haiti, and they left yesterday. And we want you to keep praying for them while they're down there. They come home on the 28th of April. But it reminds me that we also have a team going out to Uganda. And that's going out this fall. You can see it on the screen, the 14th to 28th. But registration deadline for that is April the 20th. So if you'd like to be a part of that team, we'd ask you to just get an application form, fill it out, get it back to us, and they'll give us an opportunity to talk with you about that. This will be a great trip as well. So I think that's basically all that I was supposed to say here. The next engaged session is May the 6th. Engaged is a great evening where we talk about the church and what our vision is, what our goals are, where we're going, how you can get tied into the body, the things that we value around here. 6:15, May 6th, and it goes for about 3 hours. Lots of Q&A and discussion in that as well. You're welcome to come and be a part of that. Let me invite the ushers to come forward, and I'm going to take a moment to pray, and we're going to receive an offering. And as we said a few weeks ago when we're up here, when we receive these funds, why we do this is it's actually part of our worship. Every time we take our money and put it in here, we're really saying to God, we trust you. We love you. And this is a practical way of showing it. And we use the funds to pay for the building and the costs and the salaries and to pray for local local ministries here in Red Deer, to support missionaries that go around the world and to help our partners in those three countries. So that's where the money goes. And I'd just like to pray that the Lord would take it from our hearts and that he'd help us to be responsible in the way that we use it. Father, thank you today for this opportunity in a very practical, tangible way to say thank you for all that you've done for us. And as we give our gifts and offerings to you, we tell you, Lord, that our trust is not in our money, but in you. Because you've said that you'll provide and supply all of our needs, not out of, but according to your riches in Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that all of this money would get to where it's supposed to go. We ask that not a penny, well, I guess it'd be a nickel now, not a nickel would be lost. We pray, Father, for great integrity in the way that we handle the funds here. So we commit it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.